It's an effort Friday.
Yeah.
Momo, how you feeling?
I'm good. I'm in studio and did the show next door. I forgot to take my mask off. Hold on a sec. Can you hear that? I was like running.
Can't be
over
too
here.
Careful. Can't
I
be
know.
Too careful.
I know.
So this is such a big weekend. This is such a big weekend.
Oh my gosh.
So, and I'll tell you what, I've had this conversation on the show before. By the way, hey Jorge, what's up?
What's up, Ace?
Bergman, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's going on?
Good. The whole team. So I've had this conversation before in the show, but Momo, maybe you can help me with it a little bit. So my shrink says that I tend to personalize games too much. In other words, I like take them personally. And
wait,
if
who told you this?
My shrink.
Do they understand the concept of being a fan?
Yeah, but see, I carry that to too high a level. Like, for example, when the Arizona game was easy, but when we're at a close game or when we're watching a close game, me and Juan, he will look at me and say, "Are you even having fun? Like, are you even having fun with this? Because I am like so wired and so grinding and so I'm like ah." And like when we're winning, I'm like, "Yeah, but I mean, they could. We're up two scores, but they can score, and then it's a one score game." I mean, that's the way my mind works.
Well, yeah,
I get completely worked up. Now, do you get that worked up for any team in your life?
No.
Yeah, no.
Well, it kind of, you know, in my line of work, it, you know, just saps you of that. Like I used to for the Raiders. I mean, it's still a little bit, but it's just, I cover so many games where you have to be dispassionate and objective and you're looking to analyze each play and da, 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 you know, half the time you're writing during the play. I mean, it's just, I do so much of that, that it just saps you of your hanging on every play. Now, have there been games where it's not a rooting interest, but it's such a tight game that I'm like actually nervous? Yes.
Right.
Game 7 of the NBA Finals, every time I've covered one of those. Some of those just like really tight games.
So, I by the way, I think this is true of a lot of people in sports media.
Mm-hmm.
Ireland, I don't, Bergman, you would agree with me on that. I don't think Ireland is really a hardcore fan of any, like a fan of any team.
Maybe just the Lakers.
Maybe just the Lakers. Yeah.
Yeah. No, nothing else. He's not a hardcore Raider fan. He's not a hardcore UCLA fan, even though he went there. He's not a hardcore Dodger fan or an Angel fan. No. Yeah. Just the Lakers.
Yeah. I mean, I just get devastated. Jorge, are you like? I know you're a Niners fan.
Uh-huh.
But like, when they lose, does it ruin your day?
No, not at all.
See, it ruins my day.
Yeah, me too.
It just it wrecks my, like, it will cap off a like Sunday will be a disaster if we lose for me personally,
you.
Emotionally. And I don't think we're going to. I think we're going into Tampa. I think we're going to win. After a loss, like after a Dodgers loss, after a Lakers loss in the playoffs, after a Rams loss in a do-or-die situation, I mean, I am just – I'm wrecked. I'm emotionally spent, and I'm wrecked. But I guess that is just what being a fan is all about.
That's what being a fan is. And you know what? I am happy for you that you still have that in your life. Like, you keep me in business, right? You keep me.
Yeah.
Your passion for the Rams, O'Shea's passion for the Lakers. Like, fans like you guys are what keep ESPN humming.
Right.
If you don't care, then you don't care about reading our stories, about listening to our shows. You just kind of like move on to the next. And it's like, it's almost like when a kid stops believing in Santa Claus. Like, I just feel sad for them now.
What do you mean?
Well, like, you know, there's this wonderful moment, part of childhood where you like believe in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny.
Skip that though.
Okay.
I don't ever like to talk about that.
What? Okay. You still believe in Santa Claus?
You know why, right?
I know why. There's kids in cars right now.
I'll tell you off the air.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
I don't like that conversation. I don't like that.
Okay, yeah. I see what you're saying, Jorge. Okay, okay. I mean, they're so young. They don't. You think they know?
Yeah,
okay.
At 3 o'clock, we do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a little later.
Okay.
Okay.
2:30. Show ends at 2:30.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Scrooge.
Yeah, by the way,
you're
only
Scrooge.
On until 2:30 today. Only on until 2:30 today because we got Lakers pregame.
Yeah.
For Lakers in Orlando.
Yeah.
As they start the Grammy road trip. But yeah, I still, and so people will say, well, you're in the sports media and you're. I think I play a different role in the sports media than you do.
Oh, very different. Yeah, your role is to be part of the Ramily. I mean, you are
correct.
Yeah, it's literally your, that's like part of your job.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just view it a different way than other people. Now, Bergman, do you ever get completely devastated by a loss of one of your teams?
Yes, but it depends more on when it is, not like a loss. In the playoff loss, like if I was a big Rams fan like you, I would probably be devastated after this.
But you didn't emotionally crater after the Raiders lost to Cincinnati this past week.
No, I didn't emotionally. The last time I emotionally cratered is probably when the Dodgers lost to the Astros.
Oh.
That's when that was the last
I think
time
that
I
was the biggest loss
cratered.
That people in LA have felt in a long time.
Yeah.
Like that game seven.
Bergman was there. I was at that game.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Me too.
That was just like, yeah, I got Bergman in.
He did. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of wandered around.
It was awesome until after the first inning.
To be there, at least that part was cool.
Yeah, that part was cool. Yeah, so.
And they stole it from us, mate.
So I worked. I actually have some news about the Rams game. I want to make sure we get along here, some actual information. Sean McVay says Andrew Whitworth and Taylor Rapp are out.
Oh,
for the Tampa Bay game. Whitworth is out.
Oh,
now,
man.
What's interesting about Whitworth being out, I came across this other Twitter is so useful. The Rams are 6-3 over the last two seasons with Joe Noteboom starting at left tackle, including 2-0 this season. And one of those starts came against Tampa Bay this year. So he was the left tackle when we beat Tampa Bay earlier this year. So all is not lost. But Taylor Rapp means – you know, Eric Weddle's going to get some more snaps.
Mm.
Eric Weddle's going to be out there. He was out there during the pick six play this last week. Also, Darrell Henderson is out. Sebastian Joseph Day out. Ernest Jones, who's been great this year, out. And Robert Rochelle out for the secondary. They are all on the IR. And then the news for Tampa, Tristan Wirfs, who is their left tackle, and Ryan Jensen, another offensive lineman, are both game time decisions for Sunday's game at 12 o'clock noon in LA time. So,
wait a second. Sebastian Joseph Day, Darrell Henderson, and Robert Rochelle are back. They're not out.
Here's what I'm reading. They are out of the Tampa Bay game.
Okay.
Won't be activated from IR this week despite being designated for return.
Gotcha. Okay. Fair enough.
Challenge me on that.
I was looking at it from Lindsay Theory. It says return from injured reserve.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I'm just following up. I want to make sure we pass along some real nuggets here too. I came across a really cool thing, and we will get to the Lakers coming up too. But I came across this really cool thing about Cooper Kupp, and everybody always says, "Why is Cooper Kupp so good? How did he get so good? What makes him so good?" And I came across this Sports Illustrated article, and I'll send out a link to it because it goes into depth on what he's doing. But he's taken, during this last offseason, he took a really scientific approach to his job.
Okay.
So he built a barn in his backyard. He put down the exact same turf that is in SoFi Stadium. And then he got a few things. He got a... he added a curve treadmill for speed work.
So like curve like you're running up a hill?
Curve like you're turning a corner.
Oh, like on a track.
On a track.
Well, that's cool.
A timing gate that measured in seconds his miles per hour, and 20 miles per hour was what he was always going for. And then a towing unit. So he would put a unit on him, on his uniform, or whatever he's working out in, and it would typically add 50 to 75% of his weight so that when he ran, he was basically carrying all that weight on his back.
Wow.
So he did all this kind of stuff to get ready for this year. So it's not an accident that he won the Triple Crown this year.
That's
cool. I'll tweet out a link to the article. It's really cool. It's by a guy named Greg Bishop. And I thought, you know, everybody says, well, why is he so good? What makes Cooper Kupp? How did he win the Triple Crown? This stuff kind of answers that question. So I want to just generally bring this up. So last year, as a Rams fan, we got to this point in the season. We won on Wild Card Weekend. Remember, we beat Seattle Wild Card Weekend. Then we went to Green Bay in the divisional round and lost. We had Jared Goff for that run. Now this year, with Matthew Stafford, and granted, the numbers are a lot better. I mean, he led the league in interceptions. He also threw 41 touchdown passes and almost 5,000 yards. So he had a much better year, aside from turnovers, than Jared Goff had, although Goff had a share. But we're essentially exactly in the spot we were last year. One in wild card weekend. Now we go into the divisional round. Last year we lost. Is it a must? In other words, do we need to win this game for the season to have been a success and for Matthew Stafford, that deal, to have been successful?
Yeah, flat out, don't you think? I mean, everything they did was to win the Super Bowl, to give them – and I don't even think it's the Jared Goff deal. It's that deal. It's Von Miller. It's Jalen Ramsey going back
OBJ,
a couple of years.
It's,
I mean, yeah. OBJ. All of the big deals that they make are about taking the biggest swing possible. It's not about to get to the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I mean, I think we got to win in the spot to – because we all went all in. I mean, how many times did we show – I think the Rams at one point tweeted out Teddy KGB – throwing chips into the middle of the table at the end of rounders. You know that that gift that goes around? It was like, we're putting all our chips in the middle. This is going to be our – this is the one. We're all in. We're all in. What was pointed out later was, of course, Teddy KGB lost that hand.
Oh, yeah, he did.
He lost that hand.
You're focused on details.
I think it's funny that now you go back and look at it and say, oh, Teddy KGB, he did lose that hand. But I think it is, in order to demonstrate, in order to prove, in order to show that the Matthew Stafford trade was a success, and all the other stuff, as you mentioned, draft picks for Von Miller and Jalen Rams, all this stuff, we got to win this game on Sunday. Got to.
I mean, and I don't even think they would disagree with you. If you asked Sean McVay that, he might give you a coach speak answer. But if he was not on the radio, I think he would agree with you. That's the point. You're in L.A. You've already been to one Super Bowl. You lost it. You got in the playoffs last year. And yet the big reason you didn't win is I think they didn't have enough at the quarterback position. And if you're going to win, how did Tom Brady win the title last year? They went on the road every single round.
Yeah.
They went on the road. You got to do it. Who cares if it's hard? That's the point.
Yeah, is the season a bust if we lose?
If
you're a Rams fan, 877-710-ESPN. Is the season a bust if we lose on Sunday? And by the way, I think we're winning. I think we're going to win this game. I think we beat them once. I think we beat them again. We actually have a two-game winning streak against Tampa. Beat them last year, too. Beat them last year in Tampa. So completely doable. Completely doable. And then Tom Brady, the annoying Tom Brady. That's who we got to deal with, Momo. The annoying Tom Brady. Also, I want to ask you coming up about your wedding ring.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to ask you about your wedding ring. It's a big day. A lot going on. There's a killer Lakers nugget out there we'll get to also. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right. Effing Friday, gigantic weekend in sports. Got a couple of Laker games, including at Orlando tonight. Oh, God, you got to beat Orlando. You got to beat Orlando. Am I right or am I right? Momo, are you there?
You got to beat Orlando.
Got to.
I mean, after what happened against Indiana. By the way, Indiana just went up to Golden State, beat the Warriors on the second night of that back-to-back.
Without, they went to overtime last night, yeah.
Without Caris LeVert, without Sabonis, without Brogdon, I mean.
I took some hope out of that. I thought, I did, too.
Well, maybe, I was like, well,
maybe Indiana's just hot.
Yeah, they're on
maybe
the road.
They're just hot right now. Maybe that's why we lost.
Say that again. How's your voice doing on that?
Maybe that's why we lost.
Oh, man.
Oh, you're
funny. I'm going to save that. How many? Do it again.
Maybe that's why we lost.
There's a little crack there. You sure want to go with that one?
It was a lot more than a crack.
So, betting this weekend, mythical money. Momo has no mythical money, right?
She probably not allowed. Should. I really should. I mean, I'm here all the time.
If you want to just give her $100,000 right now, we can.
Momo, let's get Momo. You're here a lot, especially the next couple weeks.
This means a lot to me, guys.
Yeah, let's give
Momo. I really do feel part of the show now.
We're going to give you 100,000 mythical dollars.
Wow. I'm typing in right now. Momo is now on the Google Excel sheet.
Wow.
I'm going to give her a taste of her own medicine. Why did we give her 100 grand? For what?
Why does she get 100 grand?
I mean,
why does
is
she
this get 100 how grand? You felt when they allowed you to growl?
Well, why do you guys growl? Because we feel part of the show now.
How did you get these tickets?
Yeah. Why do those guys get to growl?
That was the best. The comment to Greg is the best.
That one was the biggest.
Because you know what? It was the most authentic. Like, I wasn't doing it for the show. I wasn't on the radio. I wasn't doing a bit. That was my honest reaction to him sitting next to me at the game.
Yeah. It was
how did
it was
you get
it was hurtful.
Here?
It was very hurtful. We were both down there. I was so excited. I'm going to sit next to Momo. How did you get these tickets?
We didn't let anybody in here. Jeez.
So snooty. So snooty. So the current standings, Ireland's got 108K. I've got 100K straight up.
Yep.
Bergman's got 120K, Jorge 100K, and Momo 100K.
Oh, my gosh.
So I am betting $10,000 straight up on KC with Bergman. He was so sure of Buffalo. I'm like, give me KC straight up.
Wow.
Yep. I'm going to win that bet, too.
On top of that, Bergman's got 15K on the Bills plus 2.5. So, man, you need the Bills bad. You could be down 25K on this.
And you know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to do it right now because of the whole Andrew Whitworth thing. Ooh. I'm going 10K on Tampa Bay.
Oh, my gosh.
Minus -3.
Wow.
I don't even know you anymore.
You think you know a guy.
I am going against the Rams just because of Andrew Whitworth. It's all because of Andrew Whitworth, to be honest with you.
You know, you think you've got a friend in this world. You think you've got an ally.
Wow.
Somebody... You know, ride or die, somebody through thick or through thin, and then bets on Tampa Bay.
You know what the other reason is? McVay didn't come on this week, and I thought that was a little bit like he was scared. He didn't want to come on and talk to you because you gave him such hard questions last week.
I did,
but
there were no hard questions.
I think he's scared now.
Week. Like, what hard question was I going to ask?
Damn right I am.
Yeah.
He didn't show up. We can do that.
So Tampa Bay minus -3. All right. I am going to bet. So I've got 10K straight up on Kansas City with Bergman, and I am going to throw an additional. Let's see. Ireland's already got the Rams. 10K on the Rams. So I'll go 15K on the Rams plus +3.
You got it.
Give me 10K on the Niners.
You have to go more than 10K. How much did you say?
All right. Let's do 15 then.
Yeah. You got to go more. 15K on the Niners plus 5.5, I think, the last time I saw, right?
Yeah.
That's what Ireland has, is 5.5.
And I'm
Momo, now's your time. Now's your time to shine.
I know. This is big. I got to come up with, okay.
Go big.
What is the Kansas City line right now?
2.5.
I will go, I'm going to go, do I have to do more than 10K on a single bet, or can I make two bets?
You can make whatever you want.
I'm going to start off with a John Ireland parlay.
Oh, no.
Oh,
see,
I told you not to give her money.
This is
fun. Don't bet parlay. We should have a rule against betting parlays. It's such a sucker.
I don't even know how it works.
Well, then
if
don't make the bet.
Okay.
I don't feel like explaining a parlay to you on the
super
air.
Easy. Okay. If you bet three teams, you get 6-to-1 odds.
Okay, I don't want to do that. I'm just messing with you guys. I'll take 10K on the Chiefs at 2.5. I'll do the 2.5.
Okay. Chiefs minus 2.5.
Got it.
And I will also roll with Jorge's 49ers.
Okay.
10K on the 49ers.
Ooh,
how many points
we
got? How many points we got?
I think 5.5.
5.5. I like that.
Oh, you know, you have to go more than 15K, actually.
On each?
No, just
on the Niners.
We can't bet the same number, same game.
Oh, okay. Right. Same number, same game.
So you're going 20K?
Yeah, why not? Do it.
Okay.
Yeah,
20K.
There you go. 30K
Niners plus
on the line.
I like the Niners, man.
Look, McVay LaFleur? Is it LaFleur?
Well, yeah, Matt LaFleur. Yeah, it's LaFleur. Not that. It's the way they play. It's like you're going to Green Bay. It's going to be cold, but I don't think they even need the passing game. They got Debo back there. Like they play such a hard-nosed brand of football that I don't think like if they have a good running game and they can play, I like them.
So here's the
thing
about
is good.
Here's the thing about the weekend. So we will know. Like there is still a chance here that the Rams could host the NFC Championship game at SoFi next weekend. What has to happen, and we'll know this on Saturday because the Niners and Green Bay play tomorrow. If the Niners were to win, it means a Rams victory would put the NFC Championship game at SoFi, San Francisco and the Rams. Can you imagine that?
That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
But that's how sports, like, here's the reason I love sports, okay? Is that something can be true. And then the team that is losing, like six games in a row, gets a chance to change everything about their season and their luck against that opponent.
Yeah, I mean, it really doesn't. It's so,
it's never one thing. You get to change your luck. You get to change your fate.
And I also still believe there is something called the do factor. If you've lost six in a row, you're really due to win.
I was wondering where you're going with that, and I'm happy that's where you ended up.
The do factor.
Yeah, D-U-E.
D-U-E, exactly. So, Momo, I have a question, and we'll get some phone calls in here. 877-710-ESPN. Anything to do with the Rams this weekend? What's your confidence level? Is it a total crash and burn if we lose on Sunday at Tampa? All that stuff. 877-710-ESPN. So, you know Machine Gun Kelly? You know Machine Gun Kelly?
I've heard the name. It's a singer, right?
Yeah. And Megan Fox, they have been together here for a while now, and they just got engaged.
Yeah.
And have you heard about her ring?
Sort of. Go ahead.
Okay. So her ring is, let me make sure I get this right, it is straight from a mine, okay? It's a Colombian emerald. It was just carved into a teardrop straight out of the mine.
Whoa.
What? A diamond was directly added. The concept is the ring can come apart to make two rings. It's held together by magnets, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got thorns in it. So if Megan Fox tries to take the ring off, it will hurt.
Oh, my God.
So what do you think?
So really,
sounds like a beautiful ring, but it's got thorns so that if Megan tries to take the ring off, like let's say she do people still do that when they go into a bar or they club and they take their wedding ring off because they're on the prowl?
I got two stories.
Okay.
The first one involves me, the second one involves a relative of mine. Which one do you want to hear?
Let's go with the Momo story.
Okay.
First.
Nevin got me an engagement ring.
Yep.
And it was just a solitaire, and it was like he basically went down to the diamond district here in LA and went with his mom's friend who used to sell diamonds and said, make sure I don't get, you know, make sure I get a good deal. Like I don't get taken for a ride. Right.
Right.
So and he goes, I want to get a rock. I don't have that much money, but I want to get something that looks really big. It has to look really big. So the setting wasn't actually that big, but the setting was like really high.
Yeah.
And it was a solitaire, and I wore it, you know, when he first gave it to me, and I wore it that whole year. And I went to spring training, and I had my hand in my jeans or whatever I was wearing.
Right.
And I bent the prong that was holding the diamond.
Mm.
And so I have no idea when or how I did it, but it's just when you put it in your pocket, it bent the prong. And this is, mind you, we got engaged in late August, so this is probably like 5 months later.
Yeah.
And I get up, and I don't see the diamond.
Oh, the diamond fell out.
Right, because the prong that was holding the diamond.
Yikes.
And I'm like, oh, my God. I don't know where the diamond. I'm like in the press box. I just flipped out. I just couldn't. I was like, oh, my God. I guess this is like really bad luck. This is like, I don't know how much money you spent. We're not even married. Oh. And fortunately, like, the Dodgers were really nice, and everybody helped me look for it. It had fallen on the ground kind of underneath my seat. But it bounced
so you did
a little.
Find
we
the
found
diamond.
It, but it like bounced a little, and it was because he set it to look bigger than it was. Mm. Right?
Oh, got
it. He set so high.
Right.
So
right.
I don't really wear my engagement ring because I'm afraid the same thing is going to happen. Because it's not, it's really, it's the setting. I need to just get it redone so it's set lower so it doesn't bend the prong all the
time. So, yeah, but your ring doesn't need thorns, right?
Doesn't need thorns. And I have a, I just wear my wedding band. That's it. And my Aura ring, which tracks my activity level.
Which is just crazy. Yeah. Now, Jorge, what about you? What do you think of Machine Gun Kelly giving Megan Fox a ring with like thorns? So if she tries to remove the ring, it'll actually hurt her finger.
But why would you do that for your significant other?
Yeah, like, that's super controlling.
Her exactly. To take off the ring. She's Megan Fox. You don't want her.
Look, the
to
ring
go out
is cool. Whatever. What I don't like and I don't agree with is the thorns.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Yeah. I agree.
Like, why do you want
to
cause
a lack
a pain?
Of trust? Yeah. Obviously, there's a lack of trust there.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So here's the one about my relative. I'll tell it fast. They before they got married, they had what's called a hand fasting ceremony. Have you heard about this?
Nope. Mm-mm.
So it was kind of like getting married before you get married. So they were going to pledge each other for 7 years. Look it up. Just Google hand fasting ceremony. Okay. You'll see what I mean. And all the wedding was like out in the. It was a ceremony, not a wedding, and it was not legal or anything. But they had to go out into the like the wilderness, into the forest, and like their families came out there and they did this thing, and they like tied their hands together, mm-hmm. like with. Like rope or something.
Okay.
And they had to walk around with their hands tied together for 3 days. And that was the ceremony. And I was like,
that sounds just flat out stupid.
So dumb, right?
Yeah.
Like
for 3 days
go to the
they
bathroom,
walked around
like,
with their hands yeah. tied together?
That I mean, stupid. Just look it up. And then it was like, oh, we're only getting,
just get married.
Some hand fasting for 7 years.
Yeah,
and I was like,
just get married,
man.
Now, Bergman, I want to know from you. Do you ever, now, the thorns thing. Do you ever, when you were married, did you ever, like, slip off your ring because you went into a club? Like, I'm going into this club. The ladies are going to be in there. The room is rocking. There's, like, a Flo Rida song playing.
Look at you. Read all this script.
Pooed to the floor.
And you're like, I'm just going to slip off my ring and put it in my pocket and play single for the night. Did you ever do that?
See, you've known me for about 6 years now. That's totally me. Absolutely. I'm that guy. I'm the guy that is constantly going around and
there you
just
are. There's
cheating
a Flo
on
Rida
everybody.
Song playing.
That's me right there. Just getting down the whole time with no ring on. No.
What about
not.
What about you, Jorge? Do you ever like?
See Jorge now.
Oh come on! I do that playing
kidding,
around. I do that playing around. I'm like,
kidding.
Oh look, I take it off and I'm like, look guys, I'm single now.
but I never do it into a club.
No,
like,
no.
Okay, I'm
gonna
tell you a secret though. I'm gonna tell
I
you.
I do
a secret.
Playing around like you know in front of Greg or whatever. I did it once.
Right.
But, you know, just playing.
Right. It was a joke. I was kidding.
I believe that married people get hit on more when they have their rings
when
on.
When they have
it's
the
true.
Ring on.
Because when you have a ring on, okay, and this is I'll put myself in the girl role, and this is I'm not speaking from experience.
Yeah.
Wink,
for
wink.
Record, for the record.
But when you have a ring on and somebody hits on you, the idea is they're hitting on you for like a low commitment activity.
Okay. Okay. Hold that. I love that. So here's the question. Do you get hit on more when you're wearing your wedding ring? That's an interesting theory. That plus Rams, whatever you got. 877-710-ESPN. We'll get some calls in that coming up next, and we're going to spin the wheel of questions. We're only on until 2:30, so get us while we last. Mason Ireland, Momo in for John, 710-ESPN. Florida.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I came for the cake. That's my favorite Flo Rida song. Momo, what's your favorite Flo Rida song?
Wait, I have it. Hold on. I don't know the name, but I'm going to look it up. Because I do have one that it's in my normal.
Every Flo Rida song is only good at the clubs. Like, you would never put on a Flo Rida song at home.
I know this because I spend a lot of time at the clubs. All right, hold on. Here's the one I like. My House. I like My House.
My House.
Is he the one? He does the.
And
boots
I like
with
Wild
fur,
Ones
right?
too. I like Wild Ones. This is the one that's in my like. These are the two that are in my like.
They're actually
shuffle.
They're good workout songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My House was on repeat for one of my one of my Ronda Rousey stories. I think that was like, see?
Yeah.
Jorge knows I'm going to start bouncing.
It's just instrumental, though. That's all I have for
I
now.
I know, but that's the beginning.
So, see, I need some more upbeat music for my workout mix.
No more Adele? You don't need
yesterday. Yesterday I'm at the gym, and what comes up, the least workout song of all time, Coldplay, Fix You.
Yeah, no.
I'm like, you can't work out to Fix You by Coldplay.
Coldplay is nothing but depressed Englishmen.
Is he English? Is Chris
That's
Martin
all
English?
They are. I think so. Or they sound like it. But they're depressed.
Yeah, they sure. No, all their songs are a little sad. All right, so actually this lends itself to a subject that I was gonna bring up today. And I'm now not gonna bring it up. I have something different.
Wait, what about the rings and getting hit on? Because
The rings are getting hit on. All right, so do you get hit on when you're wearing a wedding ring? Because I'm single. Juan and I have been together for 16 years.
Yep.
But we've not gotten married, and I don't wear a wedding ring. And, yeah, maybe that's why I'm not getting hit on.
Maybe
I need a fake wedding ring to actually get hit on. Now, do you think Nev's getting hit on?
Yeah. He tells me every time it happens.
Is that right?
Yeah. We have a deal. Like, I thought that he wanted to know every time I got hit on, and he was like, no, don't tell me. That just makes me mad. And I was like, well, I want to know when you get hit on. And he's like, but you're just going to get upset. I'm like, I know, but I'd rather get upset than feel like you're hiding something from me.
So do you get mad?
Yeah, but, you know, not at him.
You do get mad when he tells you he got hit on?
Yeah.
That's not his fault.
I know. I don't get mad at him. I'm just getting mad at, you know, the situation.
It should be a compliment.
It is. So I will tell you this. I don't think I have ever gotten hit on more than when I first got engaged. It was like, I put a ring on and it was like, boom. I could not believe.
You were having to fight him off?
Yeah. And it could have been also like, I mean, I was young and cute, you know, that was a while ago. Could have been, but I was young and cute before that too. I mean, I was like, you know, 10 years ago, 11 years ago or something, right? 2008. How long ago was that? 13 years ago. It's a long time, right? So I was like late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah.
And it was like, as soon as I put that engagement ring on, it was like, what is happening? Like every time I would go travel, like every businessman on the road thought I wanted. I mean, I was like, no, what is happening here? Do you not see this ring?
Was that peak Momo?
Peak Momo in terms of like looks, probably.
Just peak everything.
No,
was peak Momo?
I don't think I've ever had like where everything has been in alignment.
No?
Like, definitely when I first graduated college, that was like my youngest, cutest, hottest self. Because I was in really good shape from playing softball all the time. You know, I was like 21, 22, right? But like, I wasn't successful yet. And I wasn't like self-confident in myself yet in terms of like what I do for a living and who I am. I didn't know who I was yet.
Right.
So then by the time I finally felt like, okay, I feel good about myself and my life, I was like much older and not as hot.
right.
So I don't know if they've ever really quite been in a line.
So the peak of your powers never coincided looks and professional.
Yeah, it's never quite aligned.
See, peak of my powers was definitely, I would say 1999 was peak of my powers.
Hey, was that when you were wearing the Don Johnson outfit?
No, that was actually early 90s. That was like 91. That was like 90. That was like way back Don Johnson style. But
cool,
no, peak
though.
Of my powers was like 99.
Where were you?
Were you at the Olympics?
I was actually, I had done the Winter Olympics in Nagano in 98. And then I took that job in New York and it was 99. And I was like top of the world. Now, I got fat when I went to New York and I got mean when I went to New York.
Wow.
So, but I still, I consider that to be, like, I'd love a crack at that over again. That was peak.
Yeah.
Not peak as a person.
Yeah.
Like, I think I'm pretty up there now as a person.
Yeah, I agree.
But as a performer and in terms of looks, I would say that was peak.
Yeah, I mean, I would say.
We have a newlywed online?
Ooh,
yeah, Louis.
Tell me.
What's up, Louis?
Louis, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, man? Hey, Momo.
Hey.
Congratulations on your marriage.
Want to shell out there?
Yeah,
I noticed a big difference just going out like in the grocery store or just like out at the bar ordering some drinks for my wife. Before, I would just know. I would get my drink, you know, nothing. But now it's like, oh, with the ring, so like, you know, I get like little eye googly eyes and like little comments of like, you know, stuff like that. It's like, what? Like, what happens? Like, it's just, you know. But I think it's just like, oh, like, girls all like want something that other girls want.
That's
at least
part
like
of
my
it.
Wife says. So,
well, plus they're thinking, all right, here's a no commitment thing. Hey, there's Lewis, the no commitment guy.
He's already committed to somebody else, so like, he would just have fun with me. Like, that's the, I think that's the hook. But it's also, they know you're a good guy or that you are the marrying type because you did get married to someone.
Right.
And someone married you, so you're not a weirdo.
Right? They want that they don't have.
Right, exactly. Lewis, how long you been married?
6 months, sir. Just newlywed.
Nice, nice. Still the honeymoon period. Congratulations, man. Enjoy it. Enjoy it.
Thank you, sir.
And they said it wouldn't last 6 months. let's go to Manuel and Gardena. Manuel, you're on 710. What are you doing, man?
Hey, what up, Mashansky? I'm getting ready for this Rams win this weekend.
Yeah, how you feeling about it on Sunday, man? How you feeling about it?
You know what? Honestly, man, I feel great about it. Like, just like you said, they're 2-0, you know, against them. And I don't even think that it's going to matter that Big Witt ain't out there. He'll have some wisdom from the sideline for them. So they'll be all good.
I agree.
But here's the thing about that. I'm glad you guys brought up that ring, man. I was married for 8 years. Now I'm happily divorced. But I never used to take my ring off, and you shouldn't, in my opinion, as a married person, okay? But, dude, that Machine Gun Kelly dude, like, what are you doing? Like, if you got to put thorns in your woman's finger, like, yeah, it ain't working already, man. Like, that's insecurity to the highest level. I ain't feeling it at all.
Yeah, you know,
hey,
it's keep
a lack up the good
of
work.
Thank you very much, man. Well, yeah, it's a lack of trust, right?
Yeah.
In other words, I think Megan Fox is going to go into the club and she's going to take her ring off. No, it's going to hurt. Put thorns in there. We're going to make it hurt if she takes the ring off. Hey, let's get one more in here. Let's go to...
By the way, I don't think that's what it is, but go to the call.
Well, wait a minute. Let's go to Matt in the 110. Matt, you're on 710. What's up, man?
How's it going?
Good.
So, I've been married 10 years. I don't get hit on because I outkick my coverage with my wife.
Nice.
She gets hit on a lot. And it's like, it's a magnet. And Momo's right. It is a magnet.
You think the fact that she's wearing a wedding ring makes her more appealing to guys?
And I don't know. I think maybe because a single guy might think he might be able to take her away or whatever. But we've been at bars, Vegas. We've been... concert, you know, it's a compliment to me because I know I got something good.
Nice.
You don't get jealous
though.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate the call. I mean, I think Matt, what were you going to say, Bergman? You disagree?
Yeah, I don't think that's what it is. I don't think it's like because he's worried about
Megan
Fox.
If you're just tuning in, Megan Fox got an engagement ring from Machine Gun Kelly, and it's got thorns in it so that if she tries to take it off, it hurts. Now, what do you think he's doing with it?
Yeah, it's just because that's their thing. I think they actually just have like some kind of kink about all of it, and that's what's it makes them both happy. I don't think it has anything to do with the trust issue. For us normal people, just regular layman people, we all think it's trust, but I think for them it is much bigger and more
fun
for them.
Yeah, I don't think
that
it's trust either. I think it's a little it's controlling. There's maybe a little kinkiness to it. There's something kind of.
Well, whatever they got going on, it's an interesting couple. It's an interesting couple. All right, coming up next for you, we're going to spin the wheel of questions. Plus, there's interesting Laker stuff out there.
Yeah.
Did you see the Mark Stein thing?
Ooh, I don't know. Tell me.
No, there's a good Mark Stein story about the Lakers. We'll get to that coming up next, too. And what Barkley said about the Lakers on TNT. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Effing Friday!
This is a good song, right? You can work out to this.
Yeah.
I got a couple other ones for you. This is like on my workout tape. You ready?
Yeah.
These are like not your standard ones. Okay, ready?
Okay.
I like Right Now by Van Halen. That's a great one to work out to.
It's a great one. I like that.
I like Hall of Fame. Hold on. I want to get you so you can actually find it. The Script, Hall of Fame by The Script.
Yeah.
That's a good one. And then another one for you to put on your list is Break a Sweat by Becky G.
Yeah, see, I got some AJR, there you go.
Right, some Killers. Now. Isn't that a good workout song?
It is. I got some Ed Sheeran in my mix right now.
Yeah, that's good.
Shivers is good.
Break
Bad
a Sweat
Habits
by Becky G. I want to see you rocking out to that.
Bunch of U2. yeah, I mean, yeah.
Like, you feel really dumb singing that when you're on the treadmill or whatever you're going to be on.
Yeah.
But, like, when you get into it, you're like, break a sweat. Hey, baby, break a sweat. Break a sweat. Right? Like, you got to
yeah,
do
oh,
it.
Yeah, sure.
There's another one I like too, but I don't know if you want to do that.
No, let's hold on that.
All right, I'm giving you
as they say, put a pin in that. That concludes workout song talk. All right, there you go. So I got this Lakers rumor coming up for you in just a minute. So stay right there. In the meantime, we're going to spin the wheel of questions. It is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you got a car just sitting around, you can bring it to Puente Hills Toyota for a free cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. Go ahead and give her a spin, Ori. Okay, so. So, I was driving around last week, and I saw a car. I was behind it at the stoplight, and I took a picture of it. Because it had a lot of stickers on it. It had one sticker that said, baby on board.
Okay.
It had another sticker that says, you just got passed by a girl. It had a sticker with a barcode with the words, made in Japan. It had a sticker that was just the face of a rabbit. On each side of the license plate, there was like a little angel and a little devil. And then there was a cat. I originally thought the cat was taking a poop, but I looked at it closer and it was like footprints of the cat leading up to the top. So do you have any stickers on your car? Would you put any stickers on your car?
I do not. I used to have like Stanford alumni or something because I think I got that when I graduated and I thought it was cool to put that
right
on there. But then I just thought like that made me more of a target or something. It's not like I'm driving some Benz or anything, but I put it on my Honda Accord, okay? It's not like I'm out there balling, okay? But like...
balling in a Honda Accord.
I mean, let's roll, right? But, you know, I just was like, well, I'm just basically saying steal my car. There might be some good stuff in there. I don't know. I don't want to stand out. I don't want anything that's drawing attention to me.
Don't want your car to stand
road
out.
Yeah.
All right, Jorge, stickers on your car.
No stickers, but you know what I used to put on my cars as well? The license plate cover with like the Dodgers or the Lakers.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I used to do that to my car, but no stickers.
Yeah.
No stickers.
No stickers.
Bergman, you strike me as a sticker guy.
Why would I strike you as a sticker guy? Before I answer, I would love to know why you think I'm a sticker guy.
Because you're like a guy that's kind of showing up. Out showing off.
Okay. All right. We'll move on because that's not true.
Do you have any stickers though?
No, I do not have stickers because you try and take them off and then they get all stuck on there and you start scratching up the paint. No, absolutely not. Stickers are not okay. Not a fan.
I'm also not a fan. I did try to do the license plate thing once and Juan said absolutely not. He is so against stickers or license plate frames or any of that stuff that I'm not allowed to do it. I probably would. What do you think of the person that has that many stickers on one car? What are they saying about themselves?
I think it depends on the car, right?
Like if this was Jeep, like this was like an SUV.
Oh, okay.
Like a nice SUV or
yeah,
like
a nice SUV. No, a nice
early
SUV. Baby on board. You just got passed by a girl.
I did
a rabbit.
I do think the baby on board is a good thing to put. I consider doing that as well because it's like it's kind of a signal to people like, hey, just like maybe quit with the drag racing and trying to pass and honk with me if I'm driving a little slow or something.
Right.
Know? But then I thought about also if I have a sticker on there, they're going to be looking at the sticker and not paying attention to the road.
So yeah, also, I don't want people knowing anything about me or my family. Like, when they, you know, they has like three kids on there. It's like the mom, the dad, the mom, the three kids, a dog, cat. Like, then you're telling me, I'm telling you now what I do with my life. What, who's in my car with me?
Right. So you want to be just anonymous when you're
anonymous, completely, not the sticker guy.
I also think social media ruined all that. Like, don't what does your Twitter profile say, Mace?
What does it say?
It's kind of the equivalent of like putting a sticker on your car. Like, it, once you put stuff
on
your
profile,
Instagram
says Mason in Ireland on ESPN Radio, Lakers, Rams, Dodgers, Trojans, host of the Culture Pop podcast, father to two dogs, Sophie and Fredo.
That's a lot of stickers.
It's a lot of stickers.
I mean, like, okay, do you remember when, okay, there's one, like, I remember Hillary Clinton did a funny one, and that kind of got a lot of attention when she did it, right? Let's see what it says now. Okay, look. 2016 Democratic nominee, Secretary of State, Senator, hair icon. Mom, wife, grandma times three, lawyer, advocate of fans in the, advocate, fan of walks in the woods and standing up for our democracy. I think the hair icon is pretty cool.
Hair icon's funny, yeah. Yeah. I guess, yeah, if you boil it down, I don't know. I guess if you boil it down.
You gotta have one funny thing in there. I mean, I guess you didn't, you know, but.
Father to two dogs.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's hilarious. Funny, that's very funny.
I'm not trying to bring down the house.
I think they need to punch yours up a little bit. Father to two dogs, and then I would just say
it
something
like.
It
ain't the like, improv. It's just my Twitter.
Yeah, but that's
bio.
Saying, like, who you are to the world.
I mean, do people actually go read Twitter
bios? I don't
bios?
Think people go and look at bios. I don't. I don't. Totally you think do. People look at people's Twitter descriptions?
All the time.
I've never done it with
I think
anybody.
This the younger generation, like whatever people have on their Instagram page, like that's their statement of who they are to the
honestly,
world.
You just brought it up and I started looking at different people. Before I didn't look at them. Now I'm looking at different people.
Yeah, look at them.
Yeah.
You know what sucks? I've been at 59,000 Twitter followers for a really long time. It's like I can't hit the
I think
big
I know
6-0.
What's going on. I think I know what's going on.
What is it?
You are a victim of Twitter purging bots.
What does that mean?
So every time I think I'm gaining a lot of Twitter followers, like I'll look. Usually I gain Twitter followers in and around hot NBA time. So like trade deadline,
sure.
Free agency, whatever, when I'm tweeting news or something. But I'll gain some followers and then I'll look again like a couple weeks later and it's like I went back down again. And
oh, so they're purging.
They're constantly purging bots. So you might be gaining people, but then you lose them soon after.
Just can't get past 59,000.
But I think
whatever
that's why.
Do.
That's a lot. You're doing well.
No,
okay,
good.
Look, Chinne Ogumike. She is our analyst on
Nugget real quick. Nick Bosa has been cleared to play for the 49ers against the Packers.
Yes. I'm feeling better about my bet. Hers is tougher than Nigerian hair. Los Angeles Sparks ESPN.
Okay.
She's Nigerian. She can
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you know, people have things like that. Let's look up John Ireland.
Well, let's not. John Ireland's is going to be boring. I can tell you that much. I'll bet John Ireland's is boring.
Yeah, it probably is. Let's look.
Interestingly, doesn't have one.
Oh, see, that's a statement in and of itself.
Yeah, has no description.
Yeah.
All right, I want to get to this Lakers thing.
All right, tell me.
So this is Mark Stein, who writes a column now, writes for Substack, has a Substack story column. He says, I have been advised that I should amend my previous characterization of the Lakers finding a Westbrook trade from outright impossible to extremely unlikely. There is at least one team out there that would take him, league sources say, if the conditions are right. The team, surprisingly, is the Houston Rockets. I, like many around the league, was previously under the impression that the Rockets would have less than zero interest in a Westbrook reunion after Houston traded Westbrook to Washington for John Wall in December 2020, shortly before the start of the season. I've since learned that the Rockets, while indeed holding no interest in having Westbrook play for them again, actually would be amenable to another Westbrook for Wall swap if the Lakers incentivized the trade with sufficient draft compensation.
Or a young player. Didn't we say that yesterday? Didn't I say that on air yesterday?
Well, no, not that the Rockets were actually interested in it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think that's the only trade they can do.
That's the nugget in it.
Yeah.
But I want to get your take on that coming up. Yep. Also, we've got Game of Games coming up. It's a short show today.
It's my game.
Very short show. It's Momo's game today. We expect people to chime in from Orlando, maybe Ireland and Michael Thompson. We've opened up Game of Games to a broader field of competitors. So that's coming up for you in about 15 minutes. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. F it Friday.
Yeah.
Sunday. High noon, Rams at Tampa. If you're just tuning in, unfortunately, Andrew Whitworth is not going to play. He is out. Joe Noteboom will fill in for him at left tackle, although he was also the left tackle when the Rams beat Tampa earlier this year, so that's good. It's not like all is lost. Taylor Rapp is out for the game, too. Still waiting to hear on Tristan Wirfs and that the other offensive lineman for Tampa, their offensive line is really banged up. And those guys are both game-time decisions. So, Momo, I read that little nugget from Mark Stein that says the Rockets might be interested. I think that's the way you phrase it. Might be interested. Yeah. The one team that might be interested in Russell Westbrook, a Russell Westbrook for John Wall trade. And by the way, their contracts are virtually identical. Wall and Westbrook both make 44 this year, 47 next year. If the Lakers are willing to add some draft compensation, would that get us anywhere?
I don't know. I mean, it's not like John Wall is this great three-point shooter.
He's not a
more traditional point guard than Westbrook. I mean, it's weird to like say Westbrook's not a traditional point guard. So he averages like 10 assists a game in his prime. But like he really never was. Like he got assists. But assists don't necessarily mean you're a point guard. And I personally don't think that's the move. Like, I mean, John Wall could help. Like, he would be a better fit in some ways. But the draft pick that they have, the 27 first rounder, okay? So we're in 2022, so that's 5 years from now.
Right.
That 27 first rounder might be a really good pick.
Yeah, it could. And it might be. It's post-LeBron. We could
post
really
LeBron,
use that
and
pick.
I think. I mean, it could be post-AD, but may not be. It's the first and only one they can trade for a while. And I don't think you put that in to incentivize a Westbrook trade. Like, that's
probably what it would take.
Yeah. I mean, look, they could also toss in a good young player. Like, maybe Houston likes Austin Reeves, or maybe Houston really likes I'm trying to think of another good young player they have.
Yeah, no, that's the problem.
I mean, I guess like Malik Monk is still kind of young, but they need Malik Monk. They can't trade him. Talen Horton-Tucker, but he makes too much money to make that work, so you'd have to take back. I mean, you guess you could take back Eric Gordon. That would probably fit those money.
Right,
there.
Right.
But this is like, are these moves making?
Well,
like,
this is just changing the deck chairs on the Titanic to some
and
degree.
I think, look. I will tell you, I think the thing the Lakers are looking for the most right now is a classic point guard, a classic set up the offense kind of point guard. They tried that with Rondo. It just didn't work. He was too old to do that consistently and defensively was too much of a sieve. Okay. So they need somebody to play that kind of role. And there are guys out there who are going to do buyouts or going to get cut. They're going to, I'm not saying it's going to be anybody great.
We're probably not going to be able to add anything significant this year.
Well, and a couple of things happened. So there's guys out there right now that would be on the trade block. Miles Turner, you've heard of. Well, he has a foot injury. He's going to be out.
Yeah,
for a while.
Jeremy Grant.
And I think
Gary
that just
Trent.
Right. I think Harrison Barnes is another one. That would be a very good fit because he's a good shooter. But everybody else is trying to trade for them too. So there's the problem. Like,
and our one and only asset is really THT.
That's right. THT, Malik, I mean, Kendrick Nunn, because it's an expiring deal, who hasn't played at all. And that 27 first. And, like, to me, I don't think.
Yeah, Nunn is at 6, and THT is at 10.
Mm-hmm.
So you got about $16 million.
I mean, I think this is more of a buyout market situation. And this is Sedano has made this comparison before, and I think it's right. There was a year in Cleveland when LeBron had a roster with, remember he had Isaiah Thomas and Dwayne Wade and all.
Right.
And like by the trade deadline, half the team was gone. And they're going to be small. I mean, a lot of it is just change the mix. So there's a lot of players in the Lakers right now that are just completely out of the rotation, have not worked out at all. Kent Bazemore. When's the last time you heard his name in a game? It's contributing.
Yeah, right? I mean, DeAndre Jordan. They want to offload both those guys. I mean, reportedly, they want to offload both Bazemore and DeAndre Jordan.
Well, yeah. I mean, and so I don't think they can get anything for them. They're just, you keep them until the trade deadline, and you keep them as filler for a trade. I hate to refer to players like that, but that's kind of the way they're thought of.
Yeah, sure.
Right now. And if they, if you can't include them in any trade, then you cut them and you get somebody in the buyout market. I mean, it just, there's a few players like that that just haven't worked out.
What did you think of Westbrook's reaction to being benched?
I thought the fact that he did an interview yesterday and he said all the right things was a good sign.
Yeah,
now,
good sign.
He didn't take, you know, he said, I've done everything they asked me to do. I don't know if you would get an agreement from the coaching staff, because there's a reason he got benched, right? It wasn't just because he was ineffective. It's because they're asking him to do stuff and he's not being effective in doing
it. Yes.
But the fact that he got on the phone, did an interview, showed humility, didn't, you know, go off on anybody, that was a really good sign, I thought.
Yeah, I think a good sign. I'll be interested to see the way Frank uses him going forward, or if this is a wake-up call and he starts playing defense and starts getting into the system a little bit more. But, yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll find out starting tonight at Orlando. I don't want to say it's a must-win game, but you gotta win this game.
Well, considering what the rest of their trip is, Sunday in Miami, Tuesday in Brooklyn. I mean, this is a tough trip.
It's a tough trip. Yeah,
gotta win the games you're supposed to win.
Got a game at Charlotte.
Yeah, Charlotte, Philly, isn't it? They play Milwaukee. Is that right?
No, Milwaukee. This trip.
But it's the other game. This is a really difficult trip, and when you have a game against a team like Orlando, you better win that one, because the next ones coming up aren't going to be any easier.
Okay, I want to play some Barkley. Barkley always is great. He's the best. And he was talking about the Lakers on TNT. Do you have this, Jorge?
I don't care who wins. I mean, I just want the season to be over so we can go play golf and fish.
All right, let's.
But I root. The Lakers are such wussies, and I only say wussies because I can't say the word I want to say.
I know.
The way they have trying to throw Russell Westbrook and Frank Vogel under the bus is just really pissing me off. Right. And I got to tell you something.
Oh no! Hey, you know we've got a guest standing by.
Well, the Lakers still suck when we get back from his interview.
Okay. Well,
he was playing.
I'm still mad. Now, listen, I'm not going to sit out like all these clowns on other networks got their head up the Lakers' booties. Now, they're blaming Frank Vogel and Russell Westbrook. Listen, the people up top who put that trash together are running and hiding like cowards, saying, oh, it's Frank, it's Russ. You put all them old geezers out there. Listen, the best guy other than LeBron in the last month has been who? Stanley Johnson.
Yeah.
And for y'all to be bringing a guy who was on the street and he becomes your second best player, and the general, whoever running that trash out there, getting away, it's ridiculous, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's right. I honestly, I wouldn't say trash, but I do think that the decisions that were made to build this roster have been – disastrous.
It hasn't worked out. Like, let's just go down one by one. Who of the free agent signings that they did to fill out the roster have worked out well?
Monk.
Mello
for what he does.
Yeah. Mello should be playing 15 to 20 a game. What's he playing right now? there's a lot of games where he plays a lot more than that. He's just, you know, but like, okay, Ellington hasn't really worked out.
Ellington,
well.
Bazemore hasn't worked.
Bazemore, DeAndre. Ariza.
Howard is your big man. He's got moments. Yeah.
I mean, he's playable. Like, I mean,
Austin Reeves was a great find.
Yeah, good find.
Kendrick Nunn, he hasn't played.
At all.
Injured.
That one,
Trevor
Ariza.
No, Trevor Ariza's. It's not Trevor's time. Yeah. No.
I'm
going to
give him a little more chance to get back into it because he was out for a while, but right now it's not there.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's been LeBron.
Yep.
I think it's been Monk. I think it's been Mello. I think it's been Austin Reeves. And I think it's been Stanley Johnson.
And Stanley Johnson. Oh, and here's, okay. Avery Bradley, who was added after getting cut by Golden State.
Correct. He wasn't even signed as originally as a free agent. It was after he was cut.
Yeah. Yeah, Melo's averaging 27 minutes a game. That's about 10 more than he should be playing.
Yeah, I agree.
And I mean, you know, good for him. He's a good player, but like, for him to be effective over the course of a long season, you know, and I think it's also they signed two big centers, right? And I understand the idea. Go back to what worked in the championship year with a center dominant lineup. DeAndre and Dwight fit that mold, but they don't have any shooting at the center position with either of those guys.
Nope.
So now Melo has kind of played this sort of stretch 4-5-ish player, or LeBron.
And just doesn't – I don't want to say he doesn't defend. I just think he can't defend.
Yeah, he certainly shouldn't be defending fives.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, we'll find out this weekend. They had a couple of big games tonight at Orlando, which you gotta win, and we'll have that game coming up for you. And then Sunday at Miami, which is a really tough matchup as they go out on this Grammy road trip. Coming up next for you is Game of Games. Now, Momo's game today. Momo, do you want to give us a little sneak preview?
Yeah, okay. So, I was trying to do a game in honor of Meatloaf, who passed away, okay, last night.
Yes.
Singer. Yeah. And so, I don't know, I was going to do his movies or whatever, but I settled on this. We're going to do celebrity names, because Meatloaf is obviously not his real name. And
correct.
We're going to, you know, see how good you are at knowing what their real names are.
We will do that coming up next for you. Bergman, is anybody checking in from Orlando to play?
Yes, both John and Michael will
John
be playing.
John and Michael. Excellent. Excellent. All right. That is coming up next for you. Game of Games, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. It is Game of Games time, and Momo's here in L.A. joining us from Orlando. We've got both Michael Thompson and John Ireland.
That's
it is very
right.
competitive now, Ireland. You're so competitive, you're coming on to play Game of Games even when you're not here.
I made Michael come over here, too. In any attempt to derail you from winning the first month of 2022.
Okay, so the score so far in the month is Mason 5, Ireland 5. George Sedano, 2. He won yesterday, John, believe it or not. 1 for Bergman and 1 for Michael Thompson. And it's Momo's game today. Momo, what we got cooking?
All right. So Meatloaf, the singer Meatloaf, was one of my favorites. Had a million songs that were really good. And he's better known as Marvin Lee Adey. Okay? That is his original name. He passed away last night at the age of 74. So we're going to play a fun game about celebrities who have changed their names. Okay, I'm going to read you the celebrity. I'm going to give you 3 choices of who their name, what their real name is. We'll go around multiple choice. Each person gets to tell me what you think they're. No, I don't think you'll know it without me giving you multiple choice.
Okay.
All right. We have 9 questions and a tiebreaker. You ready?
Right. Yep.
All right. Mace, you're up first. Jamie Foxx, is his real name Eric Marlin Bishop, Eric DeGrasse, or Eric Bontomgo?
I will say Eric Marlin Bishop.
Okay. John.
I'm also saying Eric Bishop.
Okay. Jorge?
Yeah, Bishop.
Greg?
Eric Bishop. Yep.
All right. You guys are all right.
Was Michael there?
Oh, Michael there? Oh, was Michael there? Sorry.
I'll go Bishop, too.
All right.
Oh,
right
good call, Michael.
That was an easy one to get you guys started.
You nailed it. You nailed it, Michael.
Okay.
Yes.
Number 2, Vin Diesel. Is he Mark Dion, Sinclair Vincenzo, or Mark Sinclair Vincent? This one, Ireland.
C, Mark Sinclair Vincent.
Okay, Jorge?
Yep, C.
Greg?
Yep, Mark Sinclair Vincent.
Mason?
Yep, Mark Sinclair.
Michael.
Michael has dropped out. He's talking to DeAndre Jordan. Michael Michael is DQ'd. Go ahead.
Okay. DQ.
You're all right. How are you guys know all these ones? All right.
No, I'm still playing.
We've played this game maybe 30 times before.
Okay.
I'm back.
I'm like, this is not a lot of drama.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Give us a chance.
Okay.
Pause at the end and give us a chance to see
okay,
if we can
do it.
Say
I'm like, you guys
it.
All yeah, really know these. Dang.
Okay. Well, no, let's do it this way.
Okay.
Give us the original name, and we'll guess who the real.
You want to do it like that?
Yeah, do it like that.
Okay.
Give us the fake name,
and then
we'll tell you what the real name is.
Okay,
and
your name is your buzzer?
Okay, yeah,
yes.
Your name is your buzzer.
Okay.
All right, here we go. I'm playing. I'm playing. Am I up?
Yeah, you're
okay.
back.
All right. Okay, so we're starting over. Now there's 7 questions. All right.
Okay.
Because you
good
all
enough.
Got every with the first two.
All
right.
I'm erasing the scoreboard and starting over.
All right. How about I'll give you the real name. You have to tell me who the fake name selected.
Yeah.
Okay. Catherine Hudson.
Mason.
Mason, I heard first.
No, we're on delay.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, can't say that.
Dump that.
Ireland.
Dump that.
Ireland.
It's Katy Perry.
All right, Ireland's on the board.
Oh, Ireland's going to get all these. Jeez.
Okay. Stephanie Germanotta.
Ireland.
Mason, there you go.
I heard Ireland first. I heard Ireland.
It's Lady Gaga.
That's right. Okay. Jeez.
You're talking about a guy who goes to plays.
Oh, hey, Mace, guess where I'm going Monday night?
Watch What Happened Live?
Yes.
Are you?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Awesome, man.
Ben got me in. Me and Trudell are going to watch What Happens
Live. Wow.
All right.
Wow.
All right. What's the next one, Momo?
All right. Peter Gene Hernandez.
Ireland.
Gee, there you go.
He's just rolling. This is too easy. What is happening
here? Are you ready?
Yeah.
It's Bruno Mars.
He's right. I think he already knows.
He's Ireland. What do you do? Read these people's life stories?
I mean, of course I do. Have you met me?
Gosh, dang. I mean, all these ones you're going to get. I mean, I don't know.
Keep going.
No.
Let's see if you can get them all.
All right.
There's 4 left. Somebody could beat me.
Nicholas Kim Coppola.
Mason.
Mason. Go ahead.
That's Nicholas Cage.
Very good, Mason. Okay, good. I don't feel so bad now. All right. Netta Lee Hirschlag.
Ireland.
Ireland, go ahead.
It's Natalie Portman.
Boom, he's too good.
Oh, wow. He's clinched it. Just do the rest of them. Do the rest of them for fun.
All right. Okay. These are too easy this way.
You should at least done sports names.
Louise Ciccone.
Mason.
Mason.
That's Madonna.
There you go. Sean Carter.
Mason.
Ireland.
I had Mason first.
Yeah, that's Sean Combs.
Okay. No, Jorge. Ireland.
No, Greg.
Ireland.
No, it's Jay-Z. Jay-Z.
That's Jay-Z.
Oh, it's Jay-Z.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I'm trying to. There's one I have here. I have to like audible on because it's too easy. Well, I'll do it anyway. Okay. Aubrey Drake Graham.
Ireland.
Ireland.
It's Drake.
It's Drake.
All you had to say was Aubrey Graham. You didn't have to say his middle name.
Yeah. Well, why wouldn't you just say Aubrey Graham?
Well, because I wrote it a different way. I wrote the game backwards.
So Momo. Ireland wins that one.
That's a really good one, Momo.
Let me try. Let me see if Momo could get one. Momo, okay. Cassius Clay.
Oh, Muhammad Ali.
All right.
Well, Lou Alcindor.
Yeah, Lou Alcindor.
Kareem. I'm told
let's see, who
far.
Else?
Eldrick Woods.
Yeah, who's that? Yeah,
so Eldrick Woods is a good one.
Oh, man.
So
well,
you
want to
do your tiebreaker, Momo?
No, it's not even fun anymore.
Momo's so
how much time do you spend on this?
Demoralized.
Yesterday?
I wrote it last night.
How much time?
Like when I
it?
Saw he died, I was like, okay, let's do a Meatloaf game.
You know, Michael Thompson once played golf with Meatloaf.
Yeah. Yeah. In the Bahamas.
I heard
in the
he's
Michael
a good golfer.
Yeah, in the Bahamas, Michael Jordan, Bahamas celebrity golf tournament. He's one of my partners. He was a good guy.
He also was a big fantasy sports player.
You got to call
fantasy
up,
football,
like, I would do anything
baseball.
For love. You got to call that up if we're going to.
Mace, was that his biggest hit or was it Paradise on the Dashboard Lights?
I think it's Paradise by the Dashboard Lights.
All right.
That's bigger than I would do anything for love?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Meatloaf story. Tell you a Meatloaf story. So when I was doing the Snyder Show and he was doing the TV part of the show, he introduced one night Meatloaf as Meatball. And you know what was great about Meatloaf
awesome.
Is he never corrected him. He did not want to embarriss Tom.
Wow.
So
well, that
he
reminds
went
me,
by Meatball for that interview.
Yeah, that reminds me of the time that I was working a game in Vancouver and Chick was still alive. And Chick was doing the game with Stu. And they were just blowing the Grizzlies out in Vancouver. And Sue Stratton, the legendary Laker producer, had a shot of Snoop Dogg giving Kobe Bryant a high five after Kobe had a steal and a dunk. Mm-hmm. Snoop was in the front row. So I have an earpiece in. And so I can hear everything the truck's saying. And she says, Chick, when we come back from commercial, I'm going to run this video. This man's name is Snoop Dogg.
Oh, my God.
And Chick says, what? What's his name? And Sue says, he's a musician. His name is Snoop Dogg. Russell, write it down for him. Yeah. And Russell could not be the stage manager. And Chick goes, no, don't write it down. What? Snoop Dogg? And he goes, yeah. So they come back from commercial. And he goes, and the Lakers win 121-99, and Kobe getting a high five from Snoopy. and so that sounds like a screw up, right? The camera, it was Victor Smith on camera. The camera pans to the back of Snoop and what Snoop's wearing. And on the back of his jersey, it says Snoopy Bryant.
Oh.
So
wow.
it appeared that Chick nailed it.
Right.
But he just said, blah, 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 Snoopy.
Oh, man.
That was it.
That was funny.
Hey, I mentioned tonight is a gotta win, right? It's gotta win. It's not a must win, but you gotta beat Orlando.
Yeah, I mean, think.
Oh, Mace, a friend of mine just texted me and said, Meatloaf, isn't 2 out of 3 ain't bad a bigger hit?
Oh, yeah, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
That's
is the biggest
too.
Hit. Yeah.
All right, shout out.
He was a good actor,
Hampton,
too.
Who like, just said that.
I like him in Fight Club. Remember when he played Robert Paulson?
What about him in Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Yeah, by the way, Louis Anderson also passed away today, who was a great, great comic. And Ireland, I'm thinking the same thing.
Threes?
I know.
They come in threes.
Well, we know who number three won't be.
Who?
Keith Richards. He's going to live forever.
Oh, no. He's, yeah.
I'm going to knock out wood just for you.
He's going to be just fine. Oh, yeah. All right. We all picking the Rams this weekend?
Yeah. Oh, but more importantly, you guys know, Ramona, you know who Sam Farmer is, right?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Sam Farmer, legendary LA Times writer. He's in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Over the last 2 years in the playoffs, including last week when he went 6-0, Sam is 17-0-1 against the spread. He just issued his picks for this weekend. Rams 30, Tampa Bay 27.
Oh, my God. Wait. Tell me what else he picked. Because they gave me mythical money, John. I've never gotten to have mythical money.
Well, you can go. Just Sam, they tweeted it. Go to the LA Times Sports Twitter account and read us. You can copy him if you want.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
I got 10 grand on the Rams, 10 grand on the Niners.
Why don't you guys just bet food instead of mythical money? Well, since you can't bet dollars, at least buy each other lunch or something.
I always buy everybody lunch.
Yeah, well, we could.
Whenever I'm in here, I buy already lunch.
There's a mythical money title. We'd all be fat. We bet so much.
You win a mythical trophy with a mythical
Mason's
money?
Trying to lose weight. If we started betting food and he
went
on a hot streak, he would balloon to 250.
I rebooted my life, Michael, for the new year. I'm down 8 pounds. I'm serious about this.
And what's your goal, 30?
My goal is to get to 190, so I've got about 14 pounds left.
By the way, Mace, I was walking around Orlando today, and I was listening to the show from yesterday. That clip Morales found of you with your broadcastery voice is fantastic.
It's amazing.
Did you even know you used to talk in a broadcastery voice?
I had no idea, and I have no idea where he even got that. I can't even believe it exists. That was so cool to bring it back.
This is Mason. It sounded like this. I'd like 93Q. I'm spinning my head.
Get your butt out of bed with the
Mason's gonna start talking here in a second.
8:10 now at the Zoo, live from Walt Disney World Resorts in Florida. By the way, we will be back in studio on Monday after about 2.5 weeks of vacation.
I don't know if you caught that, John, but did you hear what I said? We'll be back in studio next week after about 2.5 weeks of vacation.
Now I know it's you. If somebody took 2.5 weeks of vacation, that's Mason.
John, you as shocked as I was hearing that voice come out of his?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
That's weird.
It doesn't feel like him.
It's like you were possessed by somebody else.
Yeah, somebody cooler than I am now. All right, guys, have fun tonight. Have fun this weekend at Orlando, at Miami. Have fun down there over the weekend.
Ooh.
And go Rams on Sunday.
Go
Complete
Rams.
Coverage on Monday, 7:10 ESPN.